Our second scripture today comes from the Gospel of Mark, the second chapter. Here are the words of Jesus as portrayed by Mark. It says, "Now John's disciples, which is John the Baptist, and the Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, Jesus, why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, the wedding guests cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them, can they? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth to an old cloak. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it. The new from the old, and the worst tear is made. No one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost. And so are the skins. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins." We've all heard the phrase, business as usual. And it's been a pretty normal day. But when we hear these phrases, we automatically put things into our context. What is normal for me when someone says their normal day? But the reality is we have often little idea what normal is for someone else. To be honest, do we really know what normal is for us? It's funny, as a father of three, my normal day is probably much different than many of yours. In fact, one day we were coming from Powell, and I'm looking out to see Gary Glava out here. My two-year-old finds himself on the hood of Gary's car. I can't say that that's normal, but I can't say that that was surprising. But for Gary, he's like, "There's a kid on my car." He's like, "That's mine." Not so unusual for a father of little ones. And when I first moved here, and Kelsey can verify with me on this, we would plan worship. We have a meeting on Tuesday where we plan worship. And we kept hearing the phrase over and over again, "This is not a normal Sunday." After about 3 months of no normal Sundays, I realized that normal was a very busy, full Sunday. And today actually is kind of an abnormal Sunday because there's not a whole lot going on outside of normal worship. So normal is all how we see it. It varies from person to person. Last week, I, along with youth and their leaders, headed to Yarnell for a mission trip. Yarnell is the community that was devastated. They celebrate their year next week on the 30th, where the fire came through and took the lives of 19 firemen. And if you ask me what type of work we did, I would say we did normal work. Most of the physical work that we did was stuff that you probably might have teens do at your own house. We cleared some brush. We cleared lots of limbs. We helped build a fence. We pruned lots and lots and lots of dead trees. We shoveled lots of dirt. Lots of dirt. We did some painting. We did some weed eating. Nothing extraordinary in that list of activities that we did. Yet for those we served, it was not normal work at all. See, while we were there, we had the chance to talk to many of the people who we were serving with and people in the community. And through our conversations, we found out that the average age in Yarnell is 65 years old, which means for every one 16-year-old, and one of the teens did the math, it takes two 90-year-olds to make that average out. Two 90-year-olds for every 16-year-old. They had an elementary school that they said, I do believe, had 10 to 14 students in the elementary school. That was in the school, not in the grade, 10 to 15. We had more children up front this morning than they had in their entire school. And I would hate to see what this demographic of children we had this morning would have skewed their age demographic in Yarno. 135-year-old people running around. I don't know. While we were there, we also found out that the average annual income in Yarno is $16,000 a year. I did not miss a zero there. It's $16,000 a year. And as in the mind of teenagers, they quickly start doing math of the things in their life and what it costs in cell phones and food and gas. Doesn't go very far on $16,000. We also found out that many of the groups that came to Yarnell were much smaller than ours. About six to eight people, and mostly adults came, stayed at a really small church. So needless to say, when 14 teenagers from Scottsdale, Arizona, descended on this community, it was anything but normal for them. Yet the fact that we were not normal brought great joy to the people we served and worked with. In the community where youth are very scarce, to see teenagers who care, to see teenagers who are willing to give of their time and their effort, who weren't afraid to get a little dirty to help someone else, was something that wasn't normal. But again, I ask, what is normal? For the people in Yarnell a year ago, if you went a year ago today, they were living normal lives. And their normal lives in the 600-member community would have been people who lived in near proximity to each other, who didn't really care too much about their neighbors. They did their own thing at their own time. They passed pleasantries, but it was no more than that. But a week later, lives change. One lady actually said that she lived there for 35 years and there was no sense of community her entire time she lived there. She said it was kind of like living by yourself in a community of 600. Yet because of the fires, their lives were changed. And it's something because they realize the sacrifice that the firemen's lives took. And they realize the sacrifice of losing houses, what that did for their community, and how the fires actually changed their lives. Through the devastation and the loss of life, the 600 people of Yarnell became a community. They quickly had a new normal. People who wouldn't really say too much to their neighbors were checking on their neighbors when they didn't see. When the fires came through, someone said that they were watching the television very adamantly to see if they could catch glimpses of the people who got out to make it to safety. They quickly started caring about others more than themselves. And as they are a year into the rebuilding process, they are a sense of community. They share meals together. They share their concerns. We were a part of a community meeting where they got to come and give updates on what was going on and the good and the bad of their houses and things of that nature. They know that life will never go back to the way it was before the fires. But slowly and surely, they will get to a new kind of normal. Life after the fire. But it isn't just Yarnell where life can change drastically and dramatically. Things often happen in our lives as well. They aren't physical fires per se, but maybe mental or spiritual fires that take place. Loved ones pass away. Whether it's sudden or we've planned for it, there's nothing that can fill the void of that loved one passing. If it is your mother or your grandmother or your father, that first time Christmas rolls around, or Mother's Day or Father's Day, you have to realize it is a new kind of normal. If you have children, before you had children, if you can remember back then, life was peaceful. And sleep was abundant. And you have children and life changes drastically. You quickly stop living for yourselves and start living for your children. Your children get older, they get sick, life happens, and it is a daily, there is no usual routine. And I think a parent of young children, they grow up, they leave home. Normal changes all of the time. They go away to college, they get married, they have grandchildren. You're now a grandparent. Normal is changes. Oftentimes we lose our jobs or change jobs. We move from house to city. Things are always changing. And it's not just for us as adults. Things change for our children too. When we moved here, my son had to leave a school he knew and friends that he loved. He had to change. Divorce doesn't just deal with mothers and fathers, but children as well. Children change schools. Sixth graders become junior highers, and eighth graders become high school students. Seniors become freshmen once again, and things change. Teens have friends one minute and not friends the next. They get in fights with their parents and their friends and say things and do things on both sides that sometimes can't ever be taken back. And therefore, the friendships and the relationships change. Our normal is constantly changing. We are constantly adapting to change. From the time that Jesus started his public ministry, he challenged the normal way people thought and the normal way and the normal things that they did. Very early on in his ministry, according to Mark, Jesus is questioned about fasting. He was questioned because his disciples did not fast. They enjoyed any time that there was food, the disciples were eating the food. They would have made great Presbyterians. But the Pharisees and the followers of John, they spent many days in fast. Despite the fact that the Jewish law at the time only required one day, the Day of Atonement, to fast, many people during this time saw fit to fast more than one time a week, from 6 a.m. in the morning to 6 p.m. at night. And they did this because they wanted oftentimes to show how pious they were. See, the Pharisees would paint their faces white and they would walk around with a badge on saying that I am fasting, look how holy I am, and look how unholy you are. Why are you not fasting while I am? It's because I am better than you. That is what they believed. That is what they saw. And for Jesus, this is not the intention of fasting. This was not the intention of our relationship with God. And the Pharisees lost sight of why they are fasting. See, we fast so that we long for the thing that we've given up. We don't say hallelujahs during Lent because when we say it on Easter, it's so much more rejoiceful. When you give up something for Lent, if you make it the entire time, when you get it at the end of Lent, oftentimes you overindulge because it's so good. The reason we fast is to focus on what we have, not to say how good we are, not to boast about how less others are around us. And Jesus responds to their question, because their question was kind of a backhanded insult. They were questioning how holy, how godly Jesus' disciples were. They were saying, you know, we fast because we think we're holy. Why do you not fast? Do you not think you're holy? Do you not think you're godly? Because if you were, you too would fast. And Jesus quickly responds to their challenge, or question, it by challenging everything that they have been taught. See, faith to Jesus wasn't about showing up. It wasn't about putting paint on your face or fasting for a day. It wasn't simply about going to the temple and going through the motions to act like we are godly. Jesus tells all those who were there that day that they needed to start rethinking how they view God and how they view their faith. Faith was not intended to be a hollow act that people do because they are told to. But rather, faith is about experiencing God for who God is. This would have been very hard for some people to do. To be told that you do ritual every day for your life and be told it's not about the ritual, it's about the relationship. That would be difficult for some people to hear. But Jesus is very clear when he talks to them and he says you can't just change a little bit. You can't just take new cloth and put on an old garment and put new wine in an old wineskin. It'll rip. It'll fall apart. You must drastically change. New wine needs new wineskin. New garments need to be a part of new garments. They can't just add something to the old and call it a day. We have to be willing to change everything that they've been taught and start thinking all over again. Start having a new kind of normal. They need to leave behind a way of acts, a way of doing things just because we do them, and put God first. Put God in the foremost and do things because we are responding to God. We often find ourselves in their similar predicament as those who question Jesus. Oftentimes we find ourselves doing things just to do them. It can happen in worship in our daily lives. We just said the Lord's Prayer. And if you're like me and you grew up in church, I cannot count how many times over my 36 years of life I have said the Lord's Prayer. Oftentimes when we say it without thinking. We say it without doing because we do it, because we've been programmed. The same thing can go with communion. Communion can lose its meaning because we allow it to. We lose sight of how important that table becomes with those elements and the sacrifice that Christ made, because it's just something we do. Even coming to worship sometimes becomes an act that we do versus a joy that we get to do. We get to come here and worship the God of the heavens and the earth who created us. We get to give him praise and thanks. How awesome is that? The Apostle Paul understood this change, this new kind of normal very well. See, Paul, his job before he became a Christian was to kill Christians. He was paid to hunt them down, to find them, to try them, and to kill them. That was his job until he encountered Christ. And from the moment he encountered Christ, Paul had a new kind of normal. He tells us that all of us who know Christ, for all of us who have experienced the risen Lord, he says, the love of Christ urges us on because we are convinced that one has died for all. Jesus died for us all. And therefore all have died. Because Christ died, we've all died. And if he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. Paul tells us that if we experience God's love, if we experience Christ, if we truly experience it, we no longer live for ourselves. We live for others. That is a new kind of normal. Oftentimes we live lives of our faith become so similar to the people of Yarnell's before their fire. We take life for granted. We do things. We take our families. We take our friends. We take things for granted. We let little things bother us that really shouldn't. We find excuses not to do things simply because we don't want to. I've got a million excuses for things I don't want to do. But the reality is, it's just, I don't want to do them. We have excuses for not wanting to reach out to our neighbors, to invite them to do things. But the reality is we just don't want to. We live in a world that tells us that normal is me and my family first and everyone else second. But if that is normal, Jesus and Paul are very adamant about us not being normal. That we need to find a new normal. That we do not live our lives for ourselves, but we live it to do the work of Jesus Christ. The people of Yarnell had to find out the hard way when they suffered great loss that this is what God was calling them to do. The youth who went on our mission trip last week, they gave up a week of their lives to be with the people of Yarnell. And it is my hope that through that experience, through meeting the people, that they too do not have to go through tragedy to realize how important life is in Christ. That they don't have to lose everything. They don't have to fear that their loved ones are dead to realize how precious the gift of life we have in Christ is. But we are home, and their journeys continue. And it's very easy to settle back down to the normal that we had, to put on the old holy clothes, to grab the old wineskins, because you know, that's what we know best. So my question to you this morning is this: what are you going to do? Are we going to continue to live normal lives as the world defines it? Lives for ourselves, lives that are about me. Or do we have the courage? Do we have the courage it takes to set aside what society tells us is normal? To experience the faith in Jesus Christ and to find a new kind of normal where Christ is the center and others come first. Amen.